Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. This is episode 364, the final episode of 2022, which is much more impressive when you consider that this will be the end of the seventh season of the show, which also makes it the beginning of the, well, the episode before the beginning of the eighth season of the show, which means this show's been going on for at least 8 years, in whatever form, because, you know, we've done this a few different times. It's been a little different every time, but I think we finally hit our stride when we switched over to Electric Leftovers proper. How's everybody's big ol' holiday extravaganza? He says as he rubs his face, which is great for an audio format. Hope it was good. Hope you got everything you deserved and nothing that you wanted. That's how we do things. This week on the show, we're gonna back to normal it. We've got reviews from Clash of Demon Head. We're gonna read some weird news, of course, and look at the rare. Well, I say rare. We just did one though. The semi-rare Sega Genesis playthrough for your old pal Jason. We're gonna be looking at Comics Zone today, and if you're feeling all your angsty 90s grungiest, you're gonna like the soundtrack for this. Very reminiscent of Alice in Chains and Silver Chair and the Toadies, Seven Mary Three, all that kind of stuff, you know. So let's get into it, because soonest begun, soonest done, as they say in the provinces. Enter the Comics Zone, the first truly interactive comic book, says the thing in all text. Play as Sketch Turner, a streetwise comic book artist who gets trapped in the comic book world of his own creation. Warp into the Comics Zone with all the action and adventure of your favorite comics. Battle panel by panel through full comic book pages drawn by real comic book artists. Sharpen your fighting skills to defeat mutant enemies drawn in by Mortis, public enemy number one. Rip up the page with superhero powers and tons of intense fighting moves. This is indeed Comics Zone, an action game for the Genesis developed and published by Sega, released in 1995. I think we had this game when I was a kid. If not, it seemed to be around an awful lot. And I did like it, except it suffers from the double dragon thing where you've got one life to get through all of this, and the game is not the most fair in when it comes to fighting. It's a very hard game. The first couple of panels, pretty easy, not too bad. But then just things start going wrong constantly. You know, one little misstep and then you've been comboed 87,000 times and now you're dead. And you have to start the game over. You don't start the stage or the level over, you start the game over. I feel like this is probably a game that really heavily influenced things like Beautiful Joe. Feel-wise, I think they're very similar. It's not a bad game. The graphics are really good. The music's really good. The story, it's short, too. It's only 3 episodes. But as it mentions, you battle panel by panel, so every page of the book is really split up into like 8 or 9 different little scenes. Some of them are short, some of them are long. And you do maneuver your way through the comic book. So you can rip the little white space in between some of the panels to get from one to the other. You can drop down through the floor to get to the next part of the stage. Doesn't play out like a Final Fight does or a Streets of Rage where you just kind of, you know, you progress left to right and then at the end of the stage there's a fade out and you go into another stage. It's not quite how this game works. Yeah, I guess. It is a beat-em-up though, so it does suffer from that same Final Fight, Streets of Rage thing where the game really could be about half the length that it is because it does get boring. Will mention though, multiple endings in this game, so that's a neat thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's see what the nice people over at... Wow. What the nice people over at GameFAQs had to say about Clash of Demonhead. And this is not what I was expecting. Not at all. We got any regular contributors? No. Well, I think we've read one of yours. We'll do that one. And hell, I don't know. I came over here expecting to find like 5s and 6s, maybe a couple 3s. Nothing lower than an 8. Let's start with Guessu Prime GF in 2003 says, fun and exciting action game. The intro goes as follows. You will be pleasantly surprised at how much you will love this very unappreciated game. If you have not played Demon Head, you are in for a fresh and fun experience. Can't say I disagree so far. Gameplay 10 out of 10. Clash works with a non-linear level system, letting you work back and forth on a game board style map going between stages and gathering items and money, which you can use to buy weapons and various upgrades such as a jetpack or underwater gear. Demon Head is an action platformer with enemy design similar to Mega Man and human character design similar to Akira Toriyama's Chrono Trigger and Dragon Ball art. That's not totally true, but it's close enough, I guess. Clash at Demon Head is a fairly difficult game with a wide variety of all very entertaining levels, or routes as they are called in the game. I really cannot think of any way that Clash could have better play control, level design, or general game mechanics, so I'm giving it a perfect rating in this area. I have a question, Guessu Prime. Why did you call it Clash and then Demon Head and then Clash at Demon Head in the same paragraph? Story, 8 out of 10. Provided that you can get past the ridiculous character names, the main enemy's name is Tom Guycott, and he looks like a big cartoon skeleton, and happens to be the governor of town, close parenthesis, comma, you'll have fun with the story in this game. It is simple yet entertaining, and even has an alternate ending. Graphics and sound, 10 out of 10. Demon Head has quite possibly the most gripping soundtrack of any NES game. I think Guessu Prime is pulling our leg. I say this because the music suits the action of the game absolutely perfectly. The music and sound effects are fun and upbeat right along with the storyline and the visuals, which really, really remind me of Mega Man, a series I love, enemies. Coming to graphics, Clash leaves nothing to be desired. It's as simple as that. Playtime and replayability, 9 out of 10. As mentioned previously, there are two separate endings, which may give incentive to play the game over, although if you have a password to the near end of game, this is unnecessary. The sheer amount of fun involved in Clash at Demon Head will give someone more than enough reasons to play it again. The playtime of Demon Head is around an hour and a half to 2 hours. This is quite a bit for an NES action game. And the final recommendation, if you want to play an innovative classic action platformer game with a fun twist, by all means, play Clash at Demon Head. Demon Head offers a variety of positive aspects for many good, popular NES action games. If you're looking to get back to the roots of what made video games so fun and popular, this game will not disappoint you. And your review, Guessu Prime GF, did not disappoint. They gave it a 9 total. The only issue I have with your review is you've got a lot of that parenthesis, close parenthesis, punctuation thing. You really... It's a thing. It's fine, I guess. Like, I don't mind it. But, okay. But moving on. I'm going to set this tab aside because that's something I want to look at later. Moon Salt Kid. Salt spelled with a U. Reviewed in 1999 and updated in 2001. Crisis at Demon Head. Can Bang save the day? Film at 11. After Billy Bang Blitz and his girlfriend Mary complete a mission, not a mission, a mission, because it's one word, for the big boss, suddenly Bang gets a transmission telling him, Moonsault's kid's spacebar doesn't work. Telling him, one word, that Professor Plum, was kidnapped and taken to Demon Head Mountain. He needs to rescue the professor because some evil gang known as the No Space Seven Governors want to detonate Plum's doomsday bomb and destroy the No Space world. But why should this concern you? You're on vacation with your No Space girl. You don't want to be bothered by this. Oh well, off to Demon Head No Space Mountain you go. You're packed with a pistol and some money, No Space period, in order to stop the bomb. You've got to find the medallions, each kept by No Space, one of the seven governors. Demon Head is a large and perilous peak, No Space, comma, so you've got a lot of looking around to do. Along the way, you can go to No Space, the shop, and pick out some weapons and special suits, which will help you, No Space, swim faster, jump higher, and all that good stuff that every hero should, No Space, have. This is like a Dead Space review. The graphics are not the best in the world, but they're clear and easily, No Space, distinguishable. The backgrounds don't have enough variety, though. The music is good, but it gets repetitive after a while. Oh my god, we made it through a sentence with all the spaces. And the sound effects, No Space, are average at best. Playing this game will take a lot of time and patience, No Space, because there their apostrophe, the word R, just so many routes to choose from, and they are, no space, all different, even though you may see a lot of the same enemies on one no space route, and you saw them again on another. You have to look for the no space boss. They won't just come to you, period. Well, that's how most games work. They've got their own hiding spots, no space, because Demon Head is their turf. And when the going gets too tough, no space, you should stop and use your micro recorder password. Micro recorder is one word, I don't know if it was supposed to be or not. You had better write, no space, this down, because these suckers get long, parenthesis 30 letters, exclamation point, close parenthesis, period. Whew. This game is pretty good all around, and it isn't insanely hard. If you're looking, no space, for a good adventure, you should try this game. Moonsault Kid brings us an 8. Nothing really wrong with that review either, other than your space bar doesn't work. It's been 21 years. I hope you got a new keyboard. And you did the parenthesis thing too, but you only did it once. Unlike Guess who did it like 6 times. And our final review for Clash of Demon Head by Hawk, in all caps, from 2000. Hawk says, a freaking fun game, a freaking funny game. He likes them F's. Control. Fine control. That's a sentence. My only complaint is that if I was jumping a lot of tiny gaps, no space, parenthesis, capital, it happens a lot, parenthesis, no space, and when there was an enemy during the jumps and I fired at it, I would start to drop instead of finishing the jump. The controls were traditional NES style, A to jump, B to attack. So let me try and explain that, because it's a problem I've run into helping some folks with their games. You lose physics when you fire your weapon. So if you are jumping and you are moving forward at, I don't know, 3 feet a second, which is fairly fast, and you fire a gun, you just stop and fall straight down. You lose all forward momentum, which, you know, a big enough gun, I guess, would do the thing, but, you know, shouldn't work that way in a video game. Story. Here's the story. That was a sentence. It's 1990X. That was also a sentence. Billy Bang Blitz, the main character, and his chick Mary are having a little vacation at the beach when Bang gets woken up by Mary telling him he got a call. Bang listened and ended up getting a mission from the dude from Saber HQ, which was to rescue Professor Plum, creator of the patented Doomsday Bomb, has been kidnapped. Ended up getting a mission from the dude at Saber HQ, which was to rescue Professor Plum, creator of the patented Doomsday Bomb, has been kidnapped. Because he had been kidnapped, I guess, is what could have worked there. He was kidnapped by the Governors, a gang of bad dudes who stole the bomb, and are threatening to detonate it. Bang has to rescue Plum and defeat the Governors and defuse the bomb. Oh, we're getting into Trag territory. We did it! We deactivated the bomb! I love that game. It's so weird. It's so weirdly, horribly bad. Originality. This has so much originality, and it reminds me of old school anime. It's not that original, is it? And I also think it should have been an anime series. That I agree with. I still say it may have been based on something. It has a good enough plot and was also very funny, yet the very funny stuff was unintentional. I don't know if that's totally true. Graphics. The graphics were pretty good, but sometimes I just felt that Vic Tokai could have put a bit more effort in some of it. Dude, you don't know Vic Tokai games. Everything Bang wears, like the Aqualung and Supersuit, was red and black. Some enemies were pretty funny, like that beanie dude who had different expressions whenever you wore a different outfit. Not bad graphics, not awesome ones. Music. The music was okay for the most part, like the level music for most levels and the map music. The really great music was the Super Shop, the Hermit music, and the Underground music. We heard the map music and the Super Shop and I think the Hermit music all last week, or week before last. Sound effects. Not really much except when you get hurt, something important happens, you jump, and when you shoot. Still, not a bad job at it. Replay. After you beat this, playing it the second time will only become more interesting. This game is very addictive and very fun. Then he's got a section that says, fun? Definitely! Playing it was a great experience, and the little unintentionally funny stuff like, no! Parenthesis, you'll understand what I mean when you shoot the dudes on your side. Oh, yeah. If you fire on an NPC, a little speech bubble comes up and says, no! but not like a Darth Vader, no. More like you're telling a dog, no. It's like, no, don't shoot, no. Worth it? I can just say this with two words. Hell yeah. He hyphenated that. Total, I give this 10 out of 10, even with the little things that aren't perfect. Well, look, it can't be perfect and not perfect. Like, you guys have heard me leave reviews. I'm a big believer in the sum is greater than the whole of the parts. But if I've got a game that is like 9 out of 10 on everything and then a 2 out of 10 on sound effects, I'm not going to give it a 10. Right? So, oh boy, Hawk. Oh boy, Hawk. Looking at the reviews, I got a 10, an 8, an 8, an 8. Another 10. Well, let's do it this way. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 12 total. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tens. So nearly half of them are tens. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 8s, and the others are 9s. I was expecting much worse from this game, honestly, because while this game is kind of silly, the music isn't great, the gameplay isn't great, the story is really silly, the sound effects aren't great, getting through the game because it is so big is kind of a pain in the neck. All of that aside, it's still a lot of fun to play this game. I probably would give it, I'm not going to be as generous as everybody else and give it an 8. I'm going to give it a 7. And I really do think if you like old NES action games, adventure games, you really got to at least try it. Get past the dopey box art, because the box art's pretty dopey. And now that I've looked at the Japanese box art compared to the American box art, they're not all that different. One's just like very, very like 80s cartoony anime. It's still got our hero Bang standing on a cliff shooting a gun with the lady with purple hair standing behind him. And then you compare that to the Americanized version. It's got Bang standing on a crystal sidewalk on a mountain, possibly holding a blonde lady hostage. It's hard to say. He's shooting a skeleton with a laser gun. There's a dragon that looks like it's going to grab his ass. And there's a dude on a flying motorcycle just coming in out of nowhere. Which is not that far off from what the original looks like. It's just, we've got Rambo on our cover. They've got this guy. And there's the hermit. And a spaceship. And a flying duck head. All right, news time. I'm kind of glad we took a week off from the news. Well, now, no, because we didn't have news. Wait, no, there's just a weird break in the page. Okay. Let's just do them both. What the hell? Let's just do them both. Yeah, I'm not gonna turn off my ad block. I'm sorry. Maybe we won't do them both. Here's what we'll do. We'll ping pong. We'll go the first one from last week, the second one from this week, so on and so forth. So our lead story, who knew? In June 2023, people in South Korea will suddenly become a bit younger, the BBC reported. On December 8th, the South Korean parliament voted to switch from two traditional methods of counting age to the more widely recognized international method for official documents. Currently, Koreans are 1 year old at birth and then gain another year on the first day of each following year. An alternate method has them at zero upon birth and then adding a year each January 1st. So, example, someone born on December 31st, 2002 is 19 years old using the international method. But under Korea's traditional methods, they might be 20 or 21 years old. One member of parliament said the change would reduce, quote, unnecessary socioeconomic costs because legal and social disputes as well as confusion persist due to the different ways of calculating age. I guess that is probably true. Our next story, 'tis the season. If you don't mind sharing a ride with the quintessential Bah Humbug, that's me, you stand a chance at beating traffic in the HOV lane. At least that's what one driver in Arizona was hoping on December 13th when he cruised along Interstate 10 with an inflatable Grinch in the passenger seat, CNN reported. While we appreciate the festive flair, this is illegal, and the driver received a citation for the HOV violation, the Arizona Department of Public Safety noted on Twitter. And motorists in Marathon, Florida, who didn't heed the school zone speed limit on December 13th, were met with a choice. A citation or an onion presented by the Grinch himself. Yeah, that'll show him. Monroe County Sheriff's Deputy Lou Caputo, a 37-year veteran of the force, started dressing up as the surly green character more than 20 years ago, the Associated Press reported. Quote, it's about education, awareness that our school zones are still operating even though it's the holiday season, Caputo said, and it catches them off guard. Some speeders have even elected to eat the onion right on the spot. That's dumb. Give them a ticket. It's a school zone. You're not playing around. Your tax dollars at work. Someone aboard the USNS Yuma, a Navy transport ship moored on the Greek island of Crete, is having a superior bathroom experience thanks to the installation of the BioBidet BB-1000. Oh, that's a Star Trek thing, or a Star Wars thing, or a both. The Washington Free Beacon reported on December 12th at a cool $553, the BB-1000 offers a heated seat, blow dryer, remote control, deodorizer, and quote, effective enema function, unquote, which the retailer called, quote, the absolute strongest spray pressure of any electronic bidet seat on the market, end quote. The Military Sealift Command confirmed the purchase, but declined to offer more details. Oh, you think so? They did? Let's see. Art equals pain. Alito Circa, 52, a Philippine artist, creates his paintings with an unusual medium, his own blood. Circa told Reuters that using his blood started when he was young and had little access to painting supplies. Now he sources his paint every 3 months when he goes to Manila's health clinic to have 500 milliliters extracted, which he stores in a cooler in his studio. Quote, my artwork is very important to me because they come from me. It is my own blood. My DNA is part of it, Circa said. We've read two stories about people who go a little overboard with their hobbies, the Grinch guy and this guy. Animal antics, a live nativity scene in Carolina Beach, an island community about 140 miles southeast of Raleigh, North Carolina, was missing its cows on December 4th, the News and Observer reported. Oh no, things go missing in North Carolina all the time. We still haven't found those people from 200 whatever years ago. The two cows escaped their pen at Seaside Chapel around 10:30 p.m. on December 3rd, police explained, and were apparently so determined to get away that they ended up in Cape Fear River. Oh no, Nick Nolte. Carolina Beach police were joined by state park rangers and a canine with special herding skills as they hauled the soggy bovines back to shore. I gotta check. Because now that I said Nick Nolte, it won't have been Nick Nolte. The remake, Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Nick Nolte. Yeah. Got it right. Yeah. Who was in the original? Was it Robert Mitchum? I gotta look that up. Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum. Boom. Oh, and Telly Savalas. I forgot he was in that. Robert Mitchum. It's hard to beat Robert Mitchum. Anyway. Close that. Let's see. That was that one, so we're going to move on to that one. We just did that one, so now we're going to move on to this one. Extreme measures. An Argentinian soccer superfan became alarmed on December 13th. I wish that was the whole story. As he headed home to watch his team's match with Croatia in the World Cup semifinals, Oddity Central reported. The 53-year-old was frustrated at the slow progress of the bus he was riding, so when the driver stopped and stepped out to buy something at a kiosk, the soccer fan allegedly hopped into the driver's seat and took off toward his home. He drove about 4 miles, then abandoned the bus and its occupants continued on foot. But police officers caught up with him and took him into custody, and he missed the whole game. He allegedly did the thing he did. I know we have to say that for like legal reasons, but it's still stupid. Like, who else did it? How else did it happen? Is the bus haunted? No, the guy did it. Here's the police report. Anthony Thomas Tarduno, he's 48. Well, he saved the Hernando County, Florida Sheriff's Office the trouble of investigating after one of their patrol cars had been set on fire on December 7th in Spring Hill, Florida. WTSP-TV, W-Teaspoon. As officers looked over the scene, Tarduno walked up and confessed to being the arsonist, saying he, quote, "I've been drinking at the bar and decided I'd like to set it on fire." Tarduno placed a bag of garbage under the patrol vehicle, and used a lighter to set it ablaze, police said. Tarduno admitted to detectives that when he gets drunk, he, quote, does stupid things. That one, we're going to skip that one. Not so smooth reactions, ladies and gentlemen. Photographer in Western Cape, I don't know where the hell I was going. South Africa set off alarm bells when he posted some shots on Facebook that eerily resembled scenes from the War of the Worlds, LAD Bible reported, LAD Bible. Jan Vorster's shots from December 2nd showed creepy creatures emerging from the surf, which provoked 22,000 comments. Well, I did that by saying Derek Truck says crappy guitar tone. But Vorster62 said the spidery creatures are just dead aloe vera plants. Quote, "I thought I could use this as a metaphor for how people see these plants as aliens, but we are actually the two-legged aliens messing up their world," he said. We tampered in God's domain. Do people see aloe vera as an alien? I think they just like rub it on themselves and like to drink it. Stories of ew, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. They got the swampers. Experienced a thunderstorm on December 10th that brought more than lightning and heavy rain. WHNT TV reported. The city's utility board manager, James Vance, said lightning struck controls at the sewer pump station, which allowed almost 2,000 gallons of sewage to flow into the streets of the Camden Cove subdivision. The sludge eventually flowed into a stormwater retention pond, and utility crews were able to clean up the mess. Almost? That's my only question, because things like that happen. But almost 2,000. We don't know for sure. Could be more, could be less. I'm going to move on to the next one. We're going to do the ending story from both, just to be fair. Weird science. Hashim Al-Ghalili, a producer and filmmaker who has a background in molecular biology, has set imaginations on fire. Well, that was rude. With a concept he shared on social media. Ectolife. Quote, "The world's first artificial womb facility." Womb facility. Womb. Hit that B really hard because I know how I talk. Anyway, the Huffington Post UK reported that. Basically, it's a techno farm for growing human children, and Hashim believes it could be a reality within a decade. Oh no! What are the things? They're in the dune thing. I have to look that up. Techno farm. I like that. Frighteningly enough, some scientists agree. Andrew Sheenan, professor of obstetrics, excuse me. When I drink, I do dumb things like a podcast. At King's College London said artificial wombs are a possibility. It's just a matter of providing the correct environment with fuel and oxygen. Oh, so it's like a fire or an engine, he said. When we put people on things like heart bypasses or other organ bypasses, we are theoretically giving them what they need from a machine. Jeepers, it says in the story. You can't take my word. That's my word. You get out of here. Yeah, so babies born in an engine. Dune tanks? Can I find it just from tanks? No. The Tleilaxu. Yes, the axolotl tanks. That's a whole thing in of itself. Probably won't ever make it into a movie, that thing. And if it does, ooh boy. I'm not even going to get into it. It'll take too long. Our final story, New World Order. People, can't we all agree that fast food isn't worth a human life? No, we can't. On December 12th at a KFC restaurant in St. Louis, Fox 2 TV reported, a man in the drive-thru asked for corn with his meal. When the employee told him they were out of corn, he made threatening remarks, drove up to the window, displayed a handgun. A 25-year-old employee went outside to speak with the subject. That was a smart idea. Who allegedly shot him. The victim is hospitalized with his injuries, and the suspect took off after the shooting, and police are still looking for him. Does St. Louis not have cameras in their drive-thrus? Like, every drive-thru out here, I think, has got a camera in it now. Number one, KFC, absolutely not worth human life. Number two, why would you go outside to talk to the guy? Number three, there's that allegedly again. I don't know who shot him. Could have been the guy with the gun. Could have been someone else. This is St. Louis. I'm joking. St. Louis is very nice. But it is Missouri. Missouri's got some problems. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this week's episode of the show. We will be back next week for an all-new season, an all-new series, the eighth one, in some such sense. Nothing's going to change. I'll tell you right now. Business as usual, across the board. So what are we doing? If you want to visit jasonsgroovemachine.com, you can do so. Find Let's Plays for all this stuff we talked about. Find some music, find the podcast, find all of those wonderful little things that, you know, that exist in the universe that is me. Like that. What we're going to be streaming on Mondays, still, that's going to be a thing. And the game we're going to be streaming next is not the game we planned on, because I don't think that one's going to be available by the time we're ready. So we're going to be streaming a game called Genesis Noir. If you want to get a little more detail into that, check out my YouTube channel on January 1st, when I will have the new State of the Channel video uploaded. We've still got Bat and Kytos going on. We just finished up streaming Eight Doors the other day, which is why we're moving on to something else. I'm still on Twitter. It's been odd what's going on over there. He's stepping down, but he's not, but he is as soon as they find somebody. But it sounds like the people he wants to find are going to be even worse than him. So I don't know what to think about in that situation. Still on Twitter, still on Mastodon, and I'm now on Post. I got approved for a Post account, so if you're on any of those, stop on by, say hello. If you want, you don't have to, but you can. If you like the show, please consider subscribing, leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. It was brought to my attention that actually there's a duplicate version of the show out popping around, specifically on Apple. And it's been like 2 weeks, me trying to get them to take the show down. Well, we can't remove it unless you prove that it's yours. Well, they're both mine. I don't know what account was used to create this other one. It's the same damn show. Just get rid of it. No, you have to prove it's yours. Okay, go listen to that one. Go listen to this one, then listen to me. It's the same goddamn thing. And if you want to support the show, visit buymeacoffee.com/electricleft and buymeacoffee.com. And that will go towards doing a live version of the show. And we'll get there when we get there. Okay, thanks everybody. Have a good one. Hope you have a good new year. We'll see you in 2023.